Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. In the dim recesses of history and the shadowed corners of our world, tales of terror await. Tonight, we've unearthed a story that will send shivers down your spine and make you question the world around you. Dim the lights, hold tight to your sanity, and let's embark on a journey into the unknown. In the heart of autumn, Marrow Hollow bathed in the soft glow of crimson and gold. Leaves rustled, whispering tales of yore as they danced down cobbled pathways. The scent of fresh apple pies wafted from homes, intermingling with the musky scent of decaying leaves. Halloween was approaching, and an infectious excitement coursed through the veins of Marrow Hollow. On Maple Street, children laughed, their voices rising as they hopped over sidewalks, pretending to dodge lurking goblins and witches. Porches boasted intricately carved jack-o'-lanterns, their mischievous grins flickering with candlelight. In the distance, the steady hum of conversation filled the air as adults bustled around, stringing up gossamer webs and placing skeletons in their gardens. While many traditions held Marrow Hollow in its charming grip, none were as eagerly anticipated as the annual visit to Wicker's Pumpkin Patch. This vast expanse of land, nestled just outside the town's boundaries, was home to the most radiant pumpkins the eyes could behold. But it was also shrouded in whispered rumors. Miriam, a silver-haired woman with lines that told tales of years gone by, sat on her porch, observing the children with a knowing twinkle in her eyes. "You younglings," she sighed, addressing a group of newcomers who were chatting about their visit to Wicker's later that evening. "You don't know the tales." The young group chuckled. A woman with auburn hair, Lena, responded with a playful smirk. "Old legends, Miriam. We've heard about them. But times have changed." Old Man Wicker's farm had long been the epicenter of countless tales. Legends spoke of shadows that moved against the moonlight and whispers that echoed when silence should have reigned. The ground, they said, held stories of a time forgotten. Jared, a boy of about 12 with freckles dotting his face, tugged at Lena's hand, his curiosity evident. "What stories, Miss Miriam?" Miriam leaned forward, her voice dropping to a conspiratorial hush. "They say the patch is cursed. Long ago, before it became a pumpkin haven, other things took root there. Shadows of the past. And every few decades, those shadows stir." Lena rolled her eyes playfully, always the storyteller. She winked at Jared. "It's just a tale to spook nosy kids like you." But another voice, gravelly with age, chimed in. Mr. Hawthorne, a man older than even Miriam, nodded slowly. "It ain't just tales. A land remembers. And with Halloween drawing near, the veil between our world and the one beyond grows thin." Lena's laughter echoed in the cooling air, a stark contrast to the heavy atmosphere the elders tried to create. "All right, you two, enough with the ghost stories. We'll pick our pumpkins and be back before dusk." Miriam and Mr. Hawthorne exchanged glances, the unspoken agreement clear. The newcomers were yet to understand. The patch, as mesmerizing as it was in daylight, held secrets best left undisturbed after the sun dipped below the horizon. As the day wore on, excitement bubbled. Families made plans, children dreamed of the perfect pumpkin, and the town pulsed with life. Yet, in the midst of the joy, the old-timers of Marrow Hollow sat, watching and waiting, hoping that the legends of Wicker's Pumpkin Patch remained just that, legends. Marrow Hollow's history was rich, embroidered with tales of bravery, love, and occasionally, the inexplicable. Wicker Fields, now a pumpkin patch, held a darker history, one that preceded the name Wicker and the lustrous pumpkins. Before it was a place of harvest, it was known as the Hollowed Grounds. A place where, centuries ago, those deemed different were laid to rest, far away from the town's proper burial sites. These were the souls who were suspected of drawing power from the moon, of speaking to the unseen, of wielding magic. Witches and warlocks, they were called. Many were merely healers, herbalists, or those who held beliefs diverging from the town's norm. Yet, suspicion led to accusation, and the Hollowed Grounds became their final resting place. It was a crisp afternoon when Rebecca and Tom, two inquisitive souls bound by friendship, decided to explore the attic of Rebecca's ancestral home. The attic was an ocean of memories, filled with trinkets and heirlooms. Dust motes floated, gleaming like stardust as sunbeams pierced through the aged windows. Rebecca's fingers brushed a delicate lace shawl, while Tom fiddled with an ornate box, its hinges rusted with time. The air was laden with the scent of old books and wood, occasionally punctuated by the distant sounds of town life below. Tom's eyes caught a glint from beneath a moth-eaten rug. Carefully lifting the rug, he revealed an aged, leather-bound journal, its cover etched with symbols unfamiliar to the children. "Look, Rebecca," Tom exclaimed, carefully dusting off the cover. Rebecca moved closer, her eyes widening in recognition. "I've seen this symbol before. Grandma has it on a pendant." Intrigued, they opened the journal. The pages were filled with elegant cursive, the ink faded but the words legible. The journal detailed the life of a woman named Alara. She spoke of nature, of the stars, and of spells meant to heal. She detailed her love for Marrow Hollow and the life she led. However, as the journal progressed, the tone changed. Alara wrote of being ostracized, of whispers behind closed doors, and of the looming threat she and others like her felt. The town's growing mistrust for those perceived as different was evident. Rebecca read aloud, her voice barely above a whisper. "They accuse us of drawing darkness, but it is they who are overshadowed by ignorance. Tomorrow, I fear, is the day I join my brethren in the hallowed grounds." The following pages grew more distressing. Alara detailed a curse, one forged from the anguish of innocent souls, wrongly accused and hastily buried. "May the ground that holds us find its reckoning," she had written. "Until our names are cleared and our spirits acknowledged, this land shall know no peace." Tom looked up, goosebumps evident on his arm. "Rebecca, do you think this is about Wicker Fields?" She nodded slowly. "This could be the very curse the elders speak of. We should show someone." As dusk approached and the attic grew dim, the two friends clutched the journal, the weight of its revelations pressing upon them. Marrow Hollow's festive facade now seemed to hide secrets, ones that were begging to be unearthed. Marrow Hollow was a riot of color and sound on the eve of Halloween. Lanterns hung from trees, casting a soft orange glow on the ground below. Laughter echoed, children scampered with glee, and families roamed Wicker Fields, baskets in hand, in search of the perfect pumpkin to adorn their homes. Food stalls dotted the perimeter of the patch, tantalizing with aromas of roasted nuts, spiced cider, and fresh donuts. The air was thick with the sweet scent of caramel apples and the comforting fragrance of cinnamon. Nearby, children squealed with delight at carnival games, trying their luck for the coveted stuffed prizes. Rebecca and Tom, the weight of Alara's journal fresh in their minds, wandered through the festivities with a sense of growing unease. To them, the merry atmosphere now held an underlying tension. Tom, his curiosity ever present, leaned in and whispered to Rebecca, "Do you think the curse is real? Or just a tale born from fear and misunderstanding?" Rebecca glanced around, ensuring they weren't overheard. The journal seemed authentic. "But if it's real, why hasn't anything happened yet?" Tom's eyes sparkled with mischief. "Maybe we need to test it." Rebecca hesitated. "I don't know, Tom. Messing with things we don't understand." But Tom, already spotting a lone pumpkin slightly away from the crowd, made up his mind. "Just one pumpkin. If nothing happens, we'll know it's just stories." Reluctantly, Rebecca followed. As they approached the chosen pumpkin, they could feel the chill in the air growing more pronounced. Tom lifted it, gauging its weight, and with a swift motion, hurled it onto the ground. The moment it shattered, the jubilant noises of the festival seemed to dim, as though someone had turned down the volume of the world. The pumpkins inside splattered across the ground, the seeds glistening in the fading sunlight. And then it began. From the very spot where the pumpkin broke, a mist began to rise. It was not the soft white of regular fog, but a deep, dark gray, swirling with an energy of its own. It spread quickly, blanketing the patch in its embrace. Panic ensued. Children clung to their parents, their earlier joy replaced with terror. The mist seemed to mute everything, turning joyful shouts into distant echoes. Rebecca and Tom stood frozen, their eyes locked on the expanding mist. The realization of what they might have unleashed weighed heavily on them. "Tom," Rebecca's voice trembled, "we need to find help. We need to understand what this is." But as the mist surrounded them, obscuring everything in sight, the two friends realized that they were no longer standing in the Wicker Fields they knew. The mist had transported them, or perhaps they had awakened something that had been dormant for far too long. The morning sun struggled to pierce through a gloomy, overcast sky, casting Marrow Hollow in a dull, gray light. As the townspeople woke and began their daily routines, an odd behavior took hold of those who had claimed a pumpkin from Wicker Fields the previous day. Mr. Thompson, the usually gentle baker, snapped at his customers. Children who had chosen pumpkins threw tantrums, their faces contorted in anger. Miss Granger, a beloved school teacher, now glared at her pupils with an intensity that left them shaken. Their eyes, regardless of their original color, now had an unmistakable orange hue, reminiscent of the pumpkins they had taken. Their demeanor had changed from joy and festive spirit to something more primal and aggressive. Many dismissed the change. Must have been too much cider, chuckled Mrs. Fitzgerald, although she jumped when her usually amiable husband growled at her for a minor inconvenience. As the day wore on, Rebecca and Tom observed with mounting dread the town's transformation. It wasn't just aggressive behavior, it was as if these townsfolk were being drawn to something, like moths to a flame. By midday, the duo noticed a pattern. Those affected were slowly but surely gravitating towards Wicker Fields. Their movements seemed unintentional, more like an underlying instinct guiding them back to the patch. What do you think is happening? Rebecca whispered to Tom as they covertly watched Mrs. Penrose, the librarian, shuffle her way toward the fields. Her steps were slow, deliberate, and her face began to warp subtly, her mouth stretching in a grimace, her nose becoming more hooked. Tom gulped, "It's the curse, Bacall. A journal wasn't just stories. We might have started something." Rebecca, clutching the journal tightly, nodded. "We have to find a way to end this." The journal mentioned Alara's plea for her name to be cleared. "Maybe that's the key." As the day darkened into evening, Wicker Fields became a gathering point. Those with the orange-hued eyes stood there, their ghoulish features becoming more pronounced in the twilight. Their voices mingled in a low murmur, the words indiscernible, but the tone eerily harmonious. The rest of Marrow Hollow remained oblivious, attributing the strange occurrences to festive pranks or just the peculiar nature of the Halloween season. But Rebecca and Tom knew better. They had a mission now, to delve deeper into the journal's secrets and find a way to reverse the curse before it consumed their town entirely. Night descended upon Marrow Hollow, and with it, the true horror of the curse revealed itself. Those drawn to Wicker Fields began their transformation in earnest. Their heads swelled and contorted, the flesh pulling and stretching until it resembled the rough and warty exterior of a pumpkin. Glowing orange eyes peered out from deep-set sockets, and their mouths, now gaping voids, seemed ever hungry. Marrow Hollow's streets, once safe and homely, were now scenes of chaos and terror. The pumpkin-headed beings, moving with a horrifying blend of determination and hunger, sought out their untransformed neighbors. Their touch seemed infectious, as those ensnared by their grasp began their own grotesque transformation. Sheriff Marshall, who had dismissed the tales of curses as nothing more than old wives' tales, found himself face to face with the terrifying reality. Bursting out of the sheriff's office, gun drawn, he was greeted by the sight of several pumpkin-headed beings advancing on him. A scream drew his attention, and he saw Rebecca and Tom cornered by Mrs. Penrose, or at least, what she had become. Without hesitation, Marshall fired a warning shot, drawing the creature's attention. "Kids, over here," he shouted, ushering them into the safety of the station. Inside, Marshall barricaded the door, panting heavily. "I should have listened," he whispered, a look of regret clouding his face. Rebecca, ever the quick thinker, piped up, "There might still be a way to fix this. The journal mentioned more details about the witches buried in the fields, but we couldn't find all the answers there." Tom nodded, "The town library might have more information. If we can learn how to appease the spirits, we might break the curse." Marshall, realizing the gravity of their task, agreed, "All right, we'll make our way to the library. But we need to be careful and avoid drawing attention." The trio, armed with whatever they could find, flashlights, a baseball bat, and Marshall's revolver, made their way stealthily through Marrow Hollow streets. Every so often, they'd duck behind cars or into alleyways to avoid roving bands of pumpkin-headed beings. Upon reaching the library, they quickly scanned the historical section. Tom, fingers trembling, pulled out an old leather-bound book titled The Witches of Marrow Hollow. Together, they read of the gruesome fate of the witches, learning of their final request, a symbolic gesture to acknowledge their unjust demise. The spirits sought an offering, an annual remembrance, not in the form of pumpkins, but of white roses, a symbol of innocence lost. "We need to gather white roses, as many as we can," Rebecca said, determination evident in her voice. Marshall, nodding, added, "There's an old florist shop near the town square. We can start there." As the three set off, they knew that time was of the essence. They needed to make the offering before dawn, or Marrow Hollow might be lost forever. The town of Marrow Hollow was no longer recognizable. Darkness prevailed, broken only by the haunting glow from the eyes of pumpkin-headed beings. A moon, big and bright, cast an eerie illumination, making it clear that this was no ordinary night. Within the musty confines of the library, Rebecca, Tom, and Sheriff Marshall pored over a brittle page describing a ritual titled The Reversal of the Hallowed Curse. The faded ink and ancient script detailed the steps needed to reverse the dark enchantment that had gripped their town. We need the petals of a black rose, ashes from a forgotten memory, and tears of genuine remorse, Rebecca read aloud, her finger tracing the elegant, swirling text. Marshall, brow furrowed in thought, said, "Black roses can be found in the graveyard, planted by the Haverford family as a symbol of their mourning." Tom, clutching the journal tightly, chimed in, "Ashes from a forgotten memory might mean something from the old town before it was rebuilt. Maybe from the ruins of the old schoolhouse." Rebecca nodded, her eyes filled with determination. "And for tears of genuine remorse, one of us must truly regret a past action. But first, let's gather the other ingredients." Moving with purpose, the trio left the library, stepping into the night's chaos. At the graveyard, they found themselves surrounded by pumpkin-headed zombies, eerily illuminated by the moonlight. Using the shadows to their advantage, they sneaked past their adversaries, reaching the patch of black roses untouched. Tom carefully plucked a handful, securing them in his bag. Next, they ventured to the ruins of the old schoolhouse. The skeletal remains of the building stood on the outskirts of town, a relic from a bygone era. The shadows cast by the moonlight made the ruins appear even more haunting. Among the decay, they found an old wooden box, long forgotten and covered in layers of dust. Inside, letters and photographs turned to ash, which Rebecca carefully collected. The final ingredient was the most challenging. Tears of genuine remorse required deep introspection. The group settled in a concealed spot, taking a moment to reflect. It was Marshall who broke the silence, a single tear rolling down his cheek as he recalled an incident from his past, a mistake he deeply regretted. "I once ignored a call for help, thinking it was just another prank," he whispered, his voice choked with emotion. "I later learned a family needed urgent assistance. I've lived with that guilt ever since." Collecting the tear on a small cloth, the group now had all the ingredients. They headed to Wicker Fields, knowing the true challenge lay ahead. Approaching the cursed patch, they could feel the malevolent energy pulsating. Forming a circle, they began the ritual, blending the ingredients in an ancient bowl and reciting the words from the old text. As they poured the concoction over the ground, the full moon above shone even brighter. The earth trembled, and an otherworldly wind howled, signaling the climax of their endeavor. The pumpkin-headed beings, sensing the shift, began converging on the field. The trio steeled themselves for the battles ahead, knowing they were the last line of defense for Marrow Hollow. The chilling wind intensified as Rebecca, Tom, and Sheriff Marshall approached the heart of Wicker Fields. The ground felt uneven, disturbed by the numerous twisted roots that seemed to pulse with a life of their own. The moonlight unveiled a grotesque sight, a throng of pumpkin-headed beings gathered in a distorted assembly, all facing a central figure standing atop a raised mound. Old Man Wicker, his form shadowed and elongated, looked nothing like the feeble man from town legends. He bore a twisted crown made of thorns and black roses, and his eyes glowed an unnatural shade of green. Around him swirled an aura of darkness, his power evident and overwhelming. "Welcome," his voice rumbled, echoing across the fields. "I've waited long for this moment, for a reckoning. The world shall know the wrath of the betrayed." Rebecca, with fire in her eyes, shot back. "We won't let you extend this curse beyond Marrow Hollow." The ancient warlock chuckled, a sound that made the air colder. "Your efforts are valiant but futile. I've already begun weaving the spell. By dawn, the world will bow to my dominion." Determined and desperate, the trio advanced. Marshall, having faced many threats in his role as sheriff, led the charge, trying to create a diversion. Tom clutched the bowl with the remaining potion, attempting to guard it as Rebecca recited incantations from the witch's journal to counteract Wicker's influence. A fierce wind arose, creating a dance of shadows and light. As Tom neared the cursed ground's center, Wicker, sensing the potion's presence, unleashed a force that pushed him back, causing the potion to splash out, its magic dissipating into the soil. The pumpkin-headed beings let out simultaneous, haunting cries, rejoicing in the trio's apparent defeat. Tom's despair was evident, but Rebecca, though shaken, wasn't ready to give up. A potion alone may not reverse the curse, but combined with our will and the power of the town's collective spirit, we can still fight. She reached into her pocket, pulling out a small crystal pendant, a family heirloom said to protect against dark magic. Old Man Wicker, sensing the energy emanating from the pendant, hissed, "You think that trinket can stop me?" Marshall, supporting Rebecca's sentiment, shouted to the skies, "Marrow Hollow, lend us your strength. Fight against this malevolence." A surreal stillness enveloped the field. The crystal began to glow, its light matching the intensity of the full moon. Rebecca, with newfound hope, channeled all her energy, her voice clear and resonant as she spoke an ancient spell meant to bind dark entities. The air crackled with tension. It was clear the final confrontation had begun. The once quiet town of Marrow Hollow became the epicenter of an unforeseen storm. As the sun's first rays hit the earth, they painted a chilling scene. The roads, once bustling with life, were now filled with eerie silhouettes, their orange-tinged eyes looking ahead with unyielding determination. Sheriff Marshall, Rebecca, and Tom watched from a hidden vantage point as groups of the transformed townsfolk made their way out of Marrow Hollow. They moved with purpose, their ghoulish faces fixated on their next destination. It was as if they were being guided by an invisible force, beckoning them to spread the curse further. Reports started pouring in from nearby towns. Heartland Falls, a picturesque community nestled among the mountains, sent out distress signals that were cut off abruptly. Grainy footage from a local gas station's surveillance camera showed the pumpkin plague's advance, as citizens transformed into monstrous versions of themselves after coming into contact with the cursed individuals. Even urban landscapes weren't spared. In sprawling cities, the transformation was swift and devastating. Public places became battlegrounds. The serene hum of everyday life was replaced by frenzied screams and cries for help. Hospitals, overrun with the infected, soon became transmission hotspots, amplifying the plague's effects. By midday, airports became key areas of contention. Desperate to escape, people boarded planes, inadvertently spreading the curse to international territories. Grainy mobile clips on social media showed airplane cabins where half the passengers bore the signature orange hue in their eyes. Grounded flights, roadblocks, and closed ports couldn't stop the relentless spread. TV broadcasts became increasingly dire. Anchors, visibly shaken, reported the pandemic's progression. Satellite images showed a disconcerting sight. A prominent orange glow seemed to spread like wildfire across the globe, highlighting the plague's territories. Even as channels attempted to offer information and solace, many began to dim and fade, their signals interrupted. The final broadcast from a major news channel captured the gravity of the situation. A visibly distressed reporter, holding back tears, spoke with grim determination to those watching, "Stay strong. This may be our last transmission. Remember who we are and never let the fear." But she never got to finish. The screen cut to black, then, after a few moments of static, displayed the haunting emblem of an orange pumpkin. As Halloween's clock ticked towards its end, cities, once vibrant with life, were quieted under a haunting orange sky. The world, united by its shared predicament, faced a new dawn, the dominion of the pumpkin patch plague. Marrow Hollow's legacy had taken root, changing the course of history forever. As the echo of our tale fades into the abyss, we bid you a restless good night. Remember, dear listeners, not every shadow is benign, and not every tale we share is mere fiction. Until our next eerie encounter on our scary stories, keep your eyes open and your guard up. The world is filled with mysteries, some better left untold. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.